beauty.
As you can see, we clearly purposely dressed for this occasion on purpose, not by accident. So this last talk giver is one of my like really close friends, and I've known her for like a really long time. Every time you see her, like all you just feel is like the positive, like energetic and like happy vibes. A funny story that I share with her is that like one time, like, all right, you know the rule that like what happens at Antioch stays at Antioch.
Yeah.
So like this is really gonna apply right here, like. Please, like, one and only time this has ever been done is, like, she really wanted to do my makeup, and so, like, a little bit, I let her do that, and so, like, I don't know why I wanted to, guess that was just really funny, and because she's an amazing person, and she has, like, a super, like, you know, her talk's gonna be, like, super high energy and stuff, so, like, I really ask that you guys, like, listen, pay attention, and Logan.
What can I say about a girl who's really made a difference in my life? I mean, whenever I'm with her, she just fills me with so much happiness. You know, if I'm not really feeling like myself or I'm just feeling down, she's always there to just lift me up and, you know, just remind me of, like, good times. As long as I've known her, she's always that person that's just always giving. She's always just thinking about others, what she can do for other people, and she's always spreading love no matter where she is. Another funny story is one time we went to the beach and she didn't feel like stepping in all of the sand, so she decided to step in my footsteps, but I'm a little bit taller, thank God, and so I decided to jump super far and she couldn't even reach them, so I was like, as she's like all the way back there. In everything, she's definitely somebody that I look up to. She's the definition of a true leader and a true follower of Christ. So. She is a great hug giver, and she is your team director, Emily Gulak.
Congratulating everybody for making it through the weekend, you know? I think everybody deserves a round of applause. You know, it's tough, and all of you guys have experienced a lot of intense things this weekend, and we've been through so much together as an Antioch family. Everybody began trusting God and just being with Him, and it's such a beautiful thing to see. I want to thank everybody for being so open this weekend, and I've seen all of you change and thrive like that beautiful rose that I mentioned on day one. But the weekend is not over yet. There are still more important things to come. I will be giving you the final talk, and I'm so blessed and thankful that God has chosen me to be here right now giving you this talk. So like I said, all of us has changed this weekend. You know, we've encountered the love of Jesus Christ. You have all allowed Him into your lives this weekend, and I see Him in all of you. It is an amazing thing to see, and I'm so proud of all of you, you know? So now I'm going to read for you from the book of Romans. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them. If prophecy, in proportion to the faith. If ministry, in ministering. If one is a teacher, in teaching. If one exhorts, in exhortation. If one contributes, in generosity. If one is over others, with diligence. If one does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So, ask yourself this question. Like, what are we going to do with the gifts and graces that God has given us this weekend? You know, all of us aren't called to do the same thing. We each have gifts and talents that God has given us. But all of us has changed this weekend, but unfortunately, the people at home or the people at school haven't. You know, they didn't experience all the things that we experienced. They weren't here. They weren't prayed over, or they didn't see the passion. Here is such high energy, and we're all still really excited. We're on something that someone mentioned earlier, a thing called a Jesus high, and unfortunately, it won't last forever. It might not even last you guys through the week. But how do we make it last? How do we hold on to that wonderful feeling? The answer is commitment. Developing a good relationship with God does not happen overnight. You guys have to work at it and make it a habit. You know, it's hard in the beginning because it's really new to us, but you just have to stick to it. Don't go back to your old ways or your old habits. Make new ones, and if you stick to them, great things will come out of it. So you have the decision to continue on the path that you started here at Antioch. So going back to the Bible verse that I read to you guys earlier, I kept on reading, and the final sentence struck me really hard, and I thought it pertained to what I'm talking about now, so I'm going to read it to you. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. You know, don't let yourself fall back into those bad habits. You know, conquer them with the good that you learned here this weekend. You know, some of you might be afraid to fail, but trust me, we all have. The past few months for me have been a little rocky, and I slowly fell out of my faith, and I didn't even notice. I'm usually good at praying and communicating with God, but before I knew it, I didn't have a relationship with Him at all. You know, everything else in my life was distracting me from getting to Him. And I never had the chance to just step back and realize what had happened. And it happens to all of us. A little while ago at a team meeting, Rick played a song for us, and there was one line that really impacted my life and really stuck with me. It was, "Don't be afraid of intimacy, just run right into my arms." I don't know what about that line, but I feel like it was just calling me to not be afraid of God and not be afraid of that intimate relationship that He wants to have with you. You just have to trust in Him and give yourself over to Him. So making a commitment is really, really hard. So, I mean, for me, at least it is. You know, I'm going to use, like, New Year's resolutions as an example. You know, I think New Year's resolutions are, like, really dumb and really stupid because nobody ever keeps them, you know. Everybody, like, always was like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to eat healthier. Like, the gym is always packed in, like, January, and by, like, February and, like, March. Nobody ever goes anymore. So you know what, this year I was like, you know, I'm going to give it a try, we'll see what happens. So I was like, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to go to the gym every day. And like the first week of January I got sick, so I was like back to ice cream and sitting on the couch and didn't do anything. So that didn't work out. And then I remember like one time in fourth grade, you know, like our teacher gave us an assignment to do. And it was like, New Year's resolution is a big thing for like the kids or whatever. So she was like, write your New Year's resolution on a piece of paper and like color it. And my New Year's resolution was to like make my, like, work on my handwriting and get better handwriting. And when I handed it in to my teacher, she couldn't even read what was on the paper, so that didn't work either. And I still have really bad handwriting, but. So we always associate commitment with success and perfection. You know, Jesus does not expect perfection from each of us. Going back to the passion, He would not have done that if we could achieve perfection on our own. He does not ask for a commitment to success. He just wants us to commit honestly and truly try day by day. You have to pick yourself up when you fall, and the number of times we fail does not count. Because we will fail, and we're only human. And that reminds me of that song by Christina Perry, the one where like, because we're only human. Yeah, that one. And that, like the song says, you know, we fall down, humans make mistakes, and we fail. And it's okay, because our God is patient, and that He knows we are still truly committed, and we want to try again. So all of you will be given a chance to make a commitment here today. When you make your commitment, it should be specific to your life and make it personal. Something like, you know, I'm going to read my Bible every day, or I will stop cursing. Something that you can relate to. Something relevant in your life, and it could be related to your spirituality, your sexuality, or your personality. And lastly, it should be attainable. We need to challenge ourselves, but it has to be reasonable. Like, for example, promising that we'll never judge anybody in, like, a school hallway or anything is not reasonable because, you know, like I said before, we're only human and we're gonna fail. It's gonna happen. So we have to be willing to make that change. And we have to make the change, we have to show our change through our actions. Change doesn't just happen. We need to stick to it. And most importantly, our commitments need to bring us closer to Jesus. So now I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about myself and my family. I'm an only child, so it's just me, my mom, and my dad. And I live right around the corner from my grandparents. So all of us are super close, and I really cherish the relationship that I have with them. All the rest of my family lives in New York, so I don't get to see them often. And it really shows me how much that I cherish the relationship that I have with my parents and my grandparents. Like I mentioned before earlier, I go to Father Lopez, and it's like really expensive every year. So we were struggling to afford my tuition, so we had to look and to find other options. And we came across an option that little did we know would change our lives forever. Father Lopez has an international student program, and we decided to look into it. So it's not like an exchange program, exchange student program. It's nobody, like I don't go somewhere and somebody comes here. Just somebody comes to our house and lives with us, and then they pay our family for like room and board, so that's how we're going to afford my tuition. So we looked into it, and we decided to do it, and we ended up getting a student from China, and her name is Lily, and she's like the sweetest thing ever, and I've had like the most amazing experience of my life, because being able to learn about culture of like other countries and other people is like the coolest thing ever. Like Lauren mentioned in her talk before, she's really into like learning about other cultures and wanting to travel everywhere, you know? It's just like the coolest thing, and it's unimaginable, and you don't understand it until you experience it firsthand. So I decided to create a new club at my school called the International Ambassadors, where all the ambassadors get to experience what I've experienced, because it's amazing. So I wanted to be able to spread that love and spread that positivity with all of them, and all the love that I was feeling, I wanted them to feel it too. So we've had Lily last school year, and now we have her again this year. And this year's a little different than last year. Last year, she used to like come out with us as a family, and we really grew. And I just love learning about her culture and everything. But this year, she got a boyfriend, so she doesn't really spend most of the time with us anymore. She just wants to do things with him. So she doesn't really come out and talk to us anymore. She'd rather just talk to him on the phone in her room. So now that she's here this year, I feel like I don't have a good as relationship I do with her or my parents as much anymore as last year. So I feel like if, as a family, we could all grow in faith and put God as the center, it would be great for us. We would all grow together. So I'm going to be making my personal commitment in front of all of you guys right now, so all of you guys can help me stick to it. So I want to better my relationship with my family and grow together in faith with them. And what a great community of faith that we have here, like Marilyn mentioned earlier. We are all here to help you guys, and all of you guys are here to help me. So right now, Backup is going to be handing out note cards to all of you so you can make your own personal commitments. Oh, you already have them? Oh, perfect. Okay, so you can write them down anytime during my talk, but if you want, save it till the end and wait till I have to say, pay attention, I'm not done. You know, you don't have to write them now. I would wait until the end of my talk so you hear all the information that I have to say before you write them down. Okay, so be serious about this commitment. You know, it's been a few years since my candidate retreat, and I still remember exactly what I wrote down on my note card. And to this day, I kept to my promise that I made myself. Okay, so now I'm going to tell all of you guys a personal story about my first Antioch retreat and what I was going through at the time and how much the Antioch community has done for me. So I'm going to be taking you back a few years ago to my candidate retreat. You know, I'm super nervous to tell you guys this story because, you know, no one knows this about me. And I've only told like 4 or 5 people in my life, and one of the people that I told was the priest at confession on Saturday night on my candidate retreat. So one of the talks that were being given was given by Tim over there and Kevin. It was a double talk, and it was amazing, and I still remember it to this day. It made such an impact on my life. And then Kevin talked about his shack, And his shack is a special place on the inside of you that everyone has one. And it's a place where all of your feelings go and you shove everything in there that nobody knows about you. All of the things that are close to you and you want nobody to know, all of your feelings and emotions go in this little shack or box. And that's where this story is for me. It's in my shack. And right now I'm going to let all of you guys in so I can just share that story with you. Okay, so like I mentioned earlier, I'm an only child. It's just me and my family. So, you know, going back to when I was really little in like first or second grade, you know, everybody else had siblings. I went to St. Peter's and like everybody in my class had a sibling and like older siblings that went there or younger siblings that went there. And, you know, I was kind of bummed out. Like, where's my sibling? I want to share my life with somebody. Like, I want one. So I asked my parents and I was like, hey mom, hey dad, like when am I gonna get a sibling? Like what's gonna happen? Like I didn't know how it worked back then. I just thought like, oh poof, there's your sibling, like it's gonna happen like that, but it doesn't work like that. So I didn't know that when I was in second grade, so I didn't understand how it worked. So I remember I was in second grade. I don't remember the exact order that these events happened in, but I'm gonna try my best to tell them in the order that they make sense. So I remember I was in second grade, and I remember my parents sat me down one day and they told me that, they said, Emily, your mom is pregnant, you're gonna have a sibling. And I was so excited. I love kids. Like, I love kids more than anything. The kids bring me so much joy and so much love, and they're just full of energy, and I love being around them, and I love being with them. And being able to have one of my own was one of the most amazing feelings in my life. I was so excited. I was smiling. I was hugging and kissing them. I was so excited. For like weeks, I was so excited, thanking them every chance that I could. And a little down the line, they go for like a routine like doctor's appointment. And I remember they sent me to my grandma's because it was like when my mom and my dad went. And I remember getting a phone call, because it was taking a lot longer than it should have been. And I remember I got a phone call and I picked up and it was my mom. And she told me, Emily, we have something to tell you. Like, we lost a baby, it was a miscarriage. And to be honest, I don't remember what I was thinking in my mind at the time, but I just remember I didn't know what to say. So I just hung up the phone and I didn't know how to feel. I didn't understand. Like, what happened? I wanted that so bad. I wanted to be able to share my life with somebody. My parents made such a great life for me, and I'm so grateful. And I wanted to be able to share that with somebody else. And they took it away. And I don't know what happened. And I didn't know how to feel. So I don't know what in me made me... I was 8 years old. I don't know what made me turn to God in that moment. That day when I got home, I grabbed, because this was after my first communion, and I got a rosary for my first communion, so I grabbed my rosary, and I sat in my closet, and I just prayed, and I prayed. I was 8 years old, and don't ask me how I knew what to do in that moment, because I don't know, and it was all God. He told me what to do. I prayed, I don't remember for how long. It could have been minutes, it could have been hours, I don't remember, but I just prayed to him, and I was like, God, what happened? Why did you take this away from me? So much joy that could have been in my life, and it was gone. And I just remember being really mad at him, that he took that away from me. And I was upset, but I still prayed. I was like, God, I'll do this if you give me this, and I'll do that if you bring this down here for me. And it never happened. And to this day, I'm an only child, and I never got that chance again. And I guess I got over it eventually. I don't really remember, to be honest. But and then my freshman year of high school, we were in theology class, and I learned that from the point of conception, every human being has a soul from the minute you are conceived. And so I went home and asked my mom. I was like, Mom, was this an actual thing? And she was like, yeah, of course. We would never have lied to you back then. So there was a child in there. There was a soul. And it makes me so happy, because on that Antioch retreat, I just kept thinking about it. It was close to the time the retreat happened. And when I went on the retreat, there was something holding me back. On Saturday night, I wanted to feel God in my life, and there was something holding me back, and I didn't know what it was. And I remember going to confession and realizing that I was mad. I was mad at God for taking that away from me. My sibling and I would have had an amazing relationship. I would have loved them, they would have loved me. And that's all I wanted in life, that's all I wanted. And we would have had an inseparable relationship, and I knew that. And God took that away from me, and that's all I wanted. But eventually, I figured it out. You know, God did not want me to have such a really tight-knit relationship with that person, because God wanted that tight-knit relationship with me. He wanted me. He was calling me in that moment when I was 8 years old, and I didn't even know it. You know, it took me 9 years to figure it out. And I'm so glad and so grateful for Antioch and such an amazing experience and the opportunity that I have to figure out that God is now in my life, and I'm so grateful for it. I have no words to describe what Antioch has meant for me and the path of my life that I figured out because of it. So the community that we have here is like no other. It's so different from like your friends at school or your family. Everybody here is so loving and so genuine, and everybody is just amazing to be around. You know, sometimes when I'm at school, I have to put on a fake smile because there's the things that go on. It's not what I enjoy. I like being happy all the time, being around people that lift me up, lift my spirits, are positive and genuine, but everybody's not like that, and I absolutely hate it. But here, it's completely different. Everybody has such a great heart and such a great spirit, and I just love being around each and every one of you. From the bottom of my heart, I really truly mean that. You know, even if I have a bad day, like, I would come to Antioch, and they would just lift my spirits. Everybody is so positive here, it's amazing. I always look forward to Wednesdays because that's when we have our meetings. From 6 to 8 at night in the youth house. And Wednesday is in the middle of the week, and it gives you a time to recuperate or like reevaluate from Sunday and just regroup in your life. So all of you guys are invited, and we would love it if all of you guys joined our little family. You know, we do a bunch of fun things together and to grow and bond as a youth group. We go on a mission trip every summer, and which is like super fun, and it was one of the best weeks of my life, so I really, really recommend it. So without prayer, this weekend would have not been possible. Prayer is so important to me. Going back to my story, God's calling you. He wants each and every one of you. He wants to be in relationship with you. You were all created in His image and in His likeness because He wants that with you. You know, and prayer is a perfect way to get there. People have been praying for you for months just to keep your hearts and your minds open and just to be with God. Prayer is so powerful, and I encourage each and every one of you to pray to God and strengthen all of your relationships with Him. I personally would not be up here today or be the person that I am without prayer. When you pray, you can feel the Holy Spirit with you, giving you the strength to continue on. So I encourage all of you to keep praying and keep on strengthening your relationships with God. So going back to your commitments, you can write them down now. Also, Backup is going to be handing out balloons for all of you. And these will represent your promises. And when I'm finished here, we'll be going outside and lifting up our promises to God. So I hope all of you have had a great time this weekend, and I hope that God has brought you all back to life.